出て。Death Random。With your host, GMC.
Well, hey, good evening. Well, boy, do I feel like crap with the cold. But anyway, show must go on. Which is, by the way, the title of the song that comes after Comfortably Numb, my absolute favorite from The Wall, which I heard performed live this Friday in Arnhem. That was pretty awesome, even though my car broke down on the way to it. Well, smoke from under the hood. Turns out one of the tubes in the cooling system had burst. Well, it happens. There was actually two half tubes patched together in the middle, so it's an iffy proposition to begin with anyway. Well, tubes seem to be a bit rotten after 15 years. So if anyone has a spare set of cooling tubes for a Volvo 850 cooling engine system, please let me know. Okay, I'm rambling. Enough of that. With me in the studio tonight, my trustworthy sidekick, Oki.
Servus, grüß dich.
That's for our Viennese listeners, because we might be broadcast on the ether in Vienna soon. You did some research, Oki, on Viennese, and you can now...
Yeah, about the Viennese kitchen and stuff like that.
Okay, so all the essentials, that's good. And, well, back by popular demand, Brainsmoke. He's been on sabbatical, doing lots of scientific work on some secret project that we cannot reveal anything on yet.
0 days? Cool.
Maybe. It was a bit of touch and go this weekend in the hospital, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm glad you survived and are here. Yeah, well, that's my sidekicks. That's probably my nemesis. Okay, you lied to us actually last issue. I mean, the hacking Wi-Fi is not legal in the Netherlands. It's just irrelevant when you're threatened to shoot your schoolmates over the neighbor's internet connection and are.
No. I was. I was correct, but correct again because. The guy was spoken free because they charged the wrong stuff and you cannot be whatever two times for the same thing. And that's why he was spoken free, not because it's the
law. It's complicated.
It's very complex.
Speaking of shooting, we just had some Netter empty his machine gun in a mall lot, not far from here, did we? I mean,
I don't know nothing about this.
It's good to know that the Dutch Association for Gun Owners is starting a campaign
for children.
To recruit new members at schools. I mean,
cool, isn't it?
Start young, right? And what about those pro gun nutters in the States? Then you know they jump right on it. This sort of thing—it's a bigger problem in Europe because almost no one carries a gun there, so they can't defend themselves. like that's what we need, right?
That's why we
a gunfight in a mall, nutter hiding behind one of the checkouts, and then the hero defender of civil liberties trying to take him out from behind the dirty magazine. A third proud gun owner walking in unsuspectingly, finding a gunfight. What?
And he only killed seven people, so he must be a lousy shooter, right?
Maybe he should add in some explosive, right? What do you think, Oki?
I cannot say anything about this.
No? Rocket launchers, maybe?
Rocket launchers?
Crazy world. Well, talking about the States, if all is well, we have live from New York. It's this one. It's a bit of a chaos again. I mean, everyone is. I mean, it's 5 minutes before the show and people are not online. And hey, Dot Red, are you there? Now you
yes,
are.
Yes, I am.
Oh, cool. Wow. We actually managed to make a connection. Hey,
I hope the delay isn't too bad.
Oh, it's okay. I think we'll find out. That's great to speak to you again. I mean, you've been busy. We just listened to the episode of Off the Hook that you was on yesterday. But that's not why I called you. When I was over there, we talked about some interesting ideas. And from that came another idea. I believe you're working on some interesting network project in New York City, aren't you?
Yes, we are. What we were talking about had to do with, basically setting up wireless uplinks. Basically, a way to bypass non-network neutral ISPs.
Yeah, you've been having some issues with that. You mentioned. I mean, it's something that you guys in the States seem to be dealing with constantly. Trouble with your providers of telephony and internet, and
it's a very big issue, and a lot of people really don't like it. And it's not just the United States. You know, many countries around the world are having serious issues with that. And sometimes it's you know, just a local issue that if you were able just to have able to beam a connection several miles, you could bypass some sort of censorship. Meanwhile, there hasn't been a lot of development into that as of yet. I think that's starting more now that people are seeing just how vulnerable our internet really can be.
Yeah, because I've been saying for a couple of years, like, screw the internet, let's build our own. And actually, you had the same thought, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the whole beauty of the internet is that it's interconnected networks. You know, it doesn't need to be run and held up entirely by governments and big corporations. Hackers organized, like as we started to see recently with hackerspaces and other somewhat larger groups, can get together and start to work and take charge of our own internet.
Yeah, indeed. And I mean, it's just this week we had the government announce that illegal downloading is going to be punished. I mean, it's sort of double, like illegal is going to be punished. But anyway, they're going to crack down on apparently on people downloading. And well, we know all the crazy stuff. If you're using BitTorrent, you're immediately suspicious. And that's a bit crazy. And talk about the censorship. And so tell me, what's going on in New York in this regard?
Well, what's happening in New York is more of a national issue that's dealt with on the federal level in the United States. And as you may or may not be aware of, the current president was in favor of net neutrality to a degree. However, legislation I really doubt will be passed. And so what they were trying to do was have the regulators implement it themselves without actually going through the legislative process, and that is starting to be attacked. I think the deal so far is that they were trying to let wired connections be managed to not allow ISPs to throttle too much. However, wireless is fair game, and as we all know, wireless is only becoming more important with every passing day. And, there's been a lot of, political movements against anything that's perceived as not being conservative in this country. And currently, the regulator, the FCC's policies of trying to implement net neutrality is under attack and is in court right now by the ISPs don't like this. So we'll see what happens with that. But none of us here are very optimistic about it.
Wow. So, what are you going to do about it? I mean, you got together with a couple of people and started thinking about that question, haven't you?
Well, yeah. The approach that I and a number of people started doing is instead of just seeing what these people do for us, we could start setting up connections, most likely wireless, between each other, as well as maybe tunneling, especially in the beginning, and start to network between each other and have an ad hoc network that starts obviously on a smaller level. But the idea is that eventually you could have very large subnets connecting to each other and having websites that aren't necessarily that don't need to be accessed through the main channels. For instance, in New York, there's not very many ISPs, and the only way around that would be, sort of like the pirate ISP type, setting up connections, and it's so noisy, it's actually not very hard. It's very hard to notice.
Yeah, so I mean, you see this a lot these days. That there's small scale initiatives popping up to have grassroots networks to communicate. Are you planning anything national already? I mean, you probably know a lot of people around.
Well, we are planning beyond just the simple New York area. The general idea is networking with each other. It seems, from my personal opinion, the best place to look is concentrations of hackers and other technically inclined people. So looking at hacker spaces and places that simply have those kinds of organizations, as well as places like local radio stations and other ham outfits that we have over here, using that as a centralized resources where people can, you know, pool what they have and set up uplinks between each other. You could have small subnets like across the what we call the tri-state area. At first, you know, obviously you need to go across the internet, but the idea would be to eventually have so many of these nodes popping up across the country that at least over a large swath of land, you can just go without having to go across an ISP. And we can, stuff that we find important and stuff that, IRC channels and other websites that we want to put up for ourselves in the community, don't have to be held hostage to that. And if that really grows at some point in the future, you could see maybe that become a part of what we, what's considered the internet.
Yeah, like you just replace it with their own, you know. It's great to hear that you're working on this, and we've had some interesting conversation about that. Be sure to keep me up to date. We have to move on in our show though, because we just have an hour. And thank you for reporting on what's going on there. And I'm gonna keep an eye on it, and our listeners will surely be updated as well. I was just wondering, did you get anything of the American the revolution that's going on in America currently?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Did you notice anything of the revolution that's going on in America currently? I heard this on the rap news, actually, and it's pretty wild, apparently.
We'll see what happens with that. It's a little hard to say how things are going to go.
Well, let's just listen to that. Hey, thanks, man, and talk to you soon.
All right.
We are in an information war, and we are losing that war.
This is Robert Foster for Rap News once again, and what an eventful past few months it's been. History has certainly been happening, pyramids trembling and regimes unraveling, dictatorships being shaken in Tunisia, Egypt, Algeria, Bahrain, and now in Libya. And in media, an army of indie pioneers has emerged to pwn injustice through the cybersphere, facing riot gear with status updates and Twitter feeds, bringing peeps to the streets in corrupt states. And while the West stands by and applauds the protest, posing as the model of freedom for the rest, the world asks, where will the revolution begin next? Wait, it's our reporter John Pilger live from the Middle West.
That's correct, Robert. I'm here in Wisconsin, where teachers and workers have started revolting. In the depths of this dark corporatist kingdom, people have finally dared to utter the word freedom. I'm deep in, embedded in the midst of them, witnessing the rise of the American citizen.
Is it then the end of the terrible plight there?
We might be seeing an end of the American nightmare. The people control several states and territories and are set to storm the mainstream news agencies. Nazis. They've already deposed Governor Scott Walker, who abolished collective rights of the public worker. There's rage here at the genocide of the middle classes, rising poverty, food costs, and medical prices. This is the war you don't see on television. The people have had it with this fascist prison and the two-party dictatorship that's arisen under the iron fist of the Republicrat system, preventing democracy and fair elections as well, siphoning massive wealth to a banking cartel. What some here called the American Dream seems to have been a dangerous pyramid scheme.
And how was this legislation enacted?
You may remember the September 11 attack, which some believe was a false flag tactic. Either way, the loss of civil liberties was drastic. Patriot actors, political prisoners, torture, they even lost the right of habeas corpus in the name of freedom. But one thing's certain, now the people have tasted liberty, there's no returning.
It just goes to show that you never know. Even the most oppressive regimes can be dealt a blow. Thanks for this news, John. So how will the world receive it? Let's cross live to Egypt first and speak with the fearless Asma Mahfouz, whose blogs filled Tahrir Square with activist youth. Hello to you on the channel Rap News. Asma Mahfouz, do you mind if we ask for your views? Sure, the American people have suffered abuse and must choose if be slaves of tyrannical crooks or join us in the race into the modern era by taking up arms with Facebook and Twitter. We join in prayer for Americans tonight as they struggle for their basic human rights.
So how can the world help soothe their plight?
Hang on, Robert, someone's coming through on Skype. Hello?
Hello, Asma, this is Ranin Salam in Baghdad. We just got news of revolting Americans.
And?
As you know, Iraq was invaded by the U.S. to depose our brutal dictator. So please, to let the U.N. hear our statement, the Iraq people stand ready to return the favor. Sending our troops to save them from hell. Drop shock and our bombs and uranium shells.
And what about the threat of fundamentalist Christians?
We'll liberate them and give them a secular system.
Yes, we'll save them, even the heathens.
This is Operation Enduring American Freedom.
So,
BRB, Robert, I have another friend online.
Our sister Nisreen, logging in from Palestine.
Salam, all of us in the occupied territory stand in solidarity with the oppressed of North America.
Yes,
Wait, I'm surprised. I guess I never realized that people in Palestine would have sympathized with one of Israel's most ardent allies.
No, I must clarify. We pledge support for the indigenous nations who, like us, have lost their lands to colonization, like the Lakota, uphold the Treaty of Fort Laramie, and the two sovereign owners of occupied Hawaii.
I see, sir.
Robert Waite, lead singer of U2, has just uploaded a charity song to YouTube. Look!
There's a country called America, and it's a world of dread and fear, where the only water flowing is a bitter sting of tears, and the only bells that ring there are the clanging chimes of doom.
But now for our next guest from within the regime, TV host Glenn Beck. So Glenn Beck, what's your view of these events?
Hello, America. It's me, Glenn Beck. I've been educating the viewers on my redneck show to pay attention to the coming insurrection. This is not a popular uprising. It's fomented by the unions. It's a communist virus.
Okay, so who's behind this?
Well, listen in. Protesters, Muslims, and Francis Fox Pippen in cahoots with students high on drugs she's given them, brainwashed by Lenin and Bill Ayers' weathermen.
Using labor rights to spread trouble.
They need to be clubbed over the head with shovels!
But is it not that the American people are protesting because of genuine grievances?
America does have the world's highest incarcerated population.
2 million behind bars!
And although people were robbed blind by Wall Street, Only Bernie Madoff went to jail for it. Don't listen to him, America. The perfect storm is within. Students, Islamists, Google, all of them. They've thrown in their lot against liberty, against Israel, God, capitalism, and stability. Look, it's obvious. This is George Soros, who funded the Egypt uprising and all the followers. Through his Open Society Institute, backed by, oh, could it be the Muslim Brotherhood? Who walk in step with who? Iran! And want the doomsday caliphate of the 12th Imam! Or will that's great! Communism! Yes, kids, that's the real enemy of this land.
Okay, well, Glenn, stay near and we'll get your reaction to other opinions around the world as they happen. First, we have to take the next caller, Carlos Barranquilla, on the United States-ian border. Carlos, you're with a charity. Tell us, what do you do?
Bueno, this NGO is called Gringos Are Humans Too. The U.S. can't give its citizens even basic services, so for the last 30 years, we've been sending aid workers in as maids and servants, and it's urgent that the aid keeps flowing while the people take on this regime.
What's this? What the heck did that taco pender say? Mexican aid workers? No way in hell, Jose. The Tea Party will shoot these hordes of immigrants on sight. We'll defend our borders for militias and fight.
Listen, Colero, the walls and the fences and things, they ain't to keep us out, they're to keep Americans in.
Okay, the guest who will ask next is Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. What's your reaction as the revolution enlarges?
Gracias. En primer lugar, buenas tardes. The cop of this uprising are dangerous. Capitalist gangsters, oligarchs, who keep 14% of the peasantry crying, living life below the poverty line. So Venezuela is sending cheap oil to heat their homes in the winter and ease the toil. En nombre de Bolivar, accepting nuestra caridad es una expresión de la solidaridad.
I speak on behalf of our merciful creator. Whoever accepts communist oil is a traitor.
Wait, more breaking news coming in from John Pilger.
Robert, I'm outside the Fox building. Rebels have breached the perimeter. They're inside. Whoever they find is unlikely to survive.
So they've arrived? I'll hold off the baying hordes. Now that stench. Jesus, I hate the poor.
The rebels have breached the central bunker, calling for the head of Glenn Beck the Drunkard.
Well, I call on Joseph Smith, Senator McCarthy, and the pure whiteness of the confounding fathers. They'll never take me alive. I might as well give in to the spirit of 9-12. It's in my country. I just really love it. But I fear for it. They thought I was insane and lost. Who said I've lost the plot? I gotta make the pain stop for America and Fox with a good old American-made Glock. Good night, America.
Well, dear viewers, I'm sure you all agree, it's wonderful to witness these jolly scenes. We've seen our brothers and sisters make history in North Africa and across the Middle East. But sympathy to our poor cousins in the far west, on whose shoulders has fallen this large test, this quest, this incredible fight. In some sense, we are all Americans tonight. As worldwide the pyramids of power are jogged, let us remember the bigger journey we're on. Long ago, we embarked on this great adventure, yet humanity still remains an ideal we aim for. What may be said of so-called revolutions? Are they not baby steps in our ongoing evolution? The road is long, and despite our talk of civilization, we're still far from that destination.
Yeah, so that's all about the revolution going on in America. I think I'm going to throw some things around. Because there's a new Global Hackerspaces Challenge coming up. It's something that's tied to the monthly call-ins. And this time the challenge is to save some energy in your space. I mean, if you look at your energy footprint, it might just be that you're using a lot of energy, which you have to pay for. And by doing a few simple things, you can already save a lot on that energy bill. So, Aki, you've been experiencing some of that in our space.
It wasn't me. I didn't turn off the heating. I didn't turn off the lights.
Yeah, so
it was somebody else who decided to turn off the lights so that we can
We are saving lots of energy here. We turned off the heating, so it's really cold here now.
Yeah, I put an extra sweater on. It's a zero-dose sweater.
But in the studio, we have an electric heating unit thing. Yeah, so
it doesn't cost anything to heat the studio.
But it was. I mean, we've been turning off some fluorescent tubes, lighting, because actually that also took, I think,
turn off the interweb scams also.
Oh, that would save energy as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the Global Hackerspace Challenge is basically about that. Just try to get a sense of the amount of energy that you're using in your hackerspace and, devise some ways of lowering that usage.
So, nuclear power in the space?
Oh yeah, you have these small pebble reactors, right? And it's, I mean, what could possibly go wrong? It's...
Nothing, right?
That'll work out beautiful. Talking about nuclear reactors, there's this nice project that's recently started. It's called GeigerCrowd, GeigerCrowd.net. And what these people are doing is basically crowdsourcing data about radiation, specifically found by after the Japan thing. What's up, Oki? Is something you want to share?
Psychic is blowing on the RepSpace channel. Shut down the entire studio. Save more human energy by broadcasting use to heaven to listen.
He should be careful because we will just call him again and not tell him that he's in the show. But
this
guy can crowd project. It's actually kind of cool. I mean, you can sign up to it and then you can provide. Data from your Geiger counter, and that way you have a map of where the radiation is. If this is done worldwide, I think it would make a great addition to the information that would otherwise be regulated by the state.
Borrow mine and then use it for your Chinese meat.
But yours also did bacteria, right? Maybe we should have given it to brain smoke stuff. Actually, because. Another great project that I came across. I don't know if you've seen it. It's Suki Suki S-U-K-A.
I don't know what you were saying.
.org, and it's an app for your phone.
Which phone?
What? Your phone. You don't have any data. But if you have data on your phone, you can put it on your app. And if you go out demonstrating, do a rally against Fred Teve or whatever. You can.
You really don't like Fred Teve, right?
Well, do you? No one does. But you can. You can just look at the app where the police are. So
they can see where you are. You know how mobile phones work.
Yeah. Well. So, but you can see where they are. So you can run from them. I mean, it's a great.
They know that you were there then, right?
Sorry, what?
They know that you were there then. If they ask.
Well, they know already. I mean, I don't know if you have gone to a rally recently.
Yeah,
but
then mostly I left my phone at home.
There's a lot of it doesn't matter. There's a lot of units there, vans with all these cameras on there,
exactly
where you are. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was a nice because it's usually the police who starts making trouble at these demos. That's my experience at least. And with this app you can see where they are readying to get down with the gummy stick. So if you're interested in it, check it out on sukay.org, Suki. Then there's something coming up. We'll show that for we'll save that for later. I've been talking about CC hits a bit recently. Starting with this show, now with the last show, I'm submitting the tracks that we played on Def Random to CC hits. So if you hear anything you like, you can go over to cchits.net and vote for those tracks. And every month they make a nice chart of the most popular. Most popular Creative Commons licensed tracks, and it's a great way to get to know some quite nice CC tracks. One of them is a track that I'm pulling up from the DJ computer now. It's from the Scare Bears. And
what do you say, dude?
I have a cold.
Scare Bears.
The what?
Scare Bears.
The Scare Bears. Yeah, I'm not making it up.
Okay.
And they made a nice song about girls and how they do not game. Yeah, that's a bucket of noise for sure. But, well, need something impressive to follow the space program story. Looking forward to that on CCC camp this year. Well, not only for that. I mean, I've been involved with the hardware hacking tent that we're going to feature at the Hack Square there, which is going to be quite awesome, I think. If I look at the plans, there's now a rough idea to have a day full of sound-related projects, like making speakers from trash and circuit bending with Jimmy P. Rogers. And, of course, Mitch Altman will be there, teaching people to solder, which is his core business, basically. Arduino from Scratch is his current project, which is quite cool. People get to solder their own Arduino board. Talking about Mitch, he sure is into challenges lately. I mean, we barely recovered from the Take on the Machine challenge, where 5 hackerspaces in the States got to participate and, well, build cool stuff. The next thing is the Great Global Hackerspace Challenge, with at least 20 teams all around the globe. And actually, with me are Paul and Andy. They are from one such team, and not just any team, but let me see, it's the Down Under Challenge team. Hi, Paul, Andy.
Hey.
Hey, Nicole.
Hey, so you are with Hackerspace in Melbourne, in Australia, actually, which is all the way around the globe from where I am.
And it's, that's right, so it's late night.
Yeah, it's Hack Melbourne, Connected Community Hackerspace. That sounds cool. What kind of place do you have there? How big is it? How many people hang around regularly?
Well, currently it's a small space in a large garage, my garage. We regularly get 16 people every week. We meet for about 4 to 5 hours, and we have a whole weekend a month, each month. And there's probably about close to 300 people on our mail list, and around 50 people who attend sporadically throughout the year.
Wow, that's quite impressive. So, one of the things you're involved with currently is the Great Global Hackerspace Challenge, which we will call the GGHC from now on, because that's a bit shorter. What's it all about?
Well, it's I guess the brainchild of Mitch Altman and friends, and they managed to strike up a deal with Element 14, where they would basically provide some seed or funding money for a number of hacker spaces around the world. And I think you mentioned originally it was planned to be about 10, but they had such a massive response that it's ended up being 30 teams around the world, which is quite fantastic. And we're the only one in the sort of Australia, New Zealand end of the world. But yeah, people from all over the place. And the basic focus is to try and build an electronic device that can aid education, and whatever that might mean to you. So every hackerspace has kind of looked at that brief and chosen a different way of approaching the problem.
Oh yeah, so you've been brainstorming with a group at your hackerspace. One of the ideas I particularly liked was also inspired by Mitch Altman, the Teacher Be Gone device. But that didn't become the project, right? You chose something else.
No. We thought that we'd do something indeed that the teachers might like as well.
Okay. So you went for the Arduino lab.
Yeah, so the idea was that we would try and create a device that would enable teachers to basically host science, electronic, physics experiments with a basic platform. And we liked the idea of creating an open source lab device that teachers could use. We're hoping that we can keep the cost low enough that schools will be able to afford to buy one. And because of the way we've approached the construction, it's actually possible for schools to build it themselves. So they'll be able to get hold of the circuit board from us or from other parties, buy a list of the components, and then incrementally perhaps build one up as a project within the school as well.
Oh, that's pretty impressive and of course, cost effective. So basically the Arduino, for people who don't know it, it's a small microcontroller board, which is basically a small computer that you can use to control various things, like sensors, temperature sensors, whatever, and send out signals to make things happen in the real world. And it is already quite the barrier of entry is quite low. I mean, it's easy to get started with this board, but you are actually making it even more easy to get started with microcontrollers, right, with the Arduino lab.
Yes, the ease of use of an Arduino is threefold, basically. It's affordable, it's the hardware is easy to utilize and to add simple sensors and actuators to, and thirdly, the software environment is readily available on all platforms, and you can blink a light or control a servo motor with just a few minutes of simple programming in the C language. However, there are people who, even then, they'd still like a little bit more assistance in lowering that barrier to entry. So the idea of the Arduino Lab is to package up the Arduino with a number of sensors and a graphical display, so to display what's happening on the various inputs, and to have some outputs like a speaker and or a buzzer, and to protect those inputs from voltages being put on backwards or over voltage, so that people don't destroy the board by mistake.
And you're even adding some useful outputs. I think there's even a voltage output that you can vary with from within the software. Like say, I now want 3 volts, or I want 4 volts, or 5, or.
Yes, so there's a couple of knobs, so you can control voltage and current on one channel, or independently control voltage on a couple of output channels. There is also a frequency generator, so you can have square waves or sine waves or whatever sort of complex wave you want. So it basically acts as a simple lab, but also it's open and extensible. So it can, we also want to have a couple of demonstration projects that could be used in a school environment. So it's not just an electronics lab.
Yeah, so... I guess there are a number of constraints that we've been given to work with. One is that the project must include a microcontroller, and it must also include a portable power supply. So that was an interesting one for us, because we haven't really had to consider with our previous projects dealing with portable power, but we think we've got a reasonable solution to that. And it's actually been quite a fun challenge to work off. So we've done things like said, USB is a pretty good cabling system. How about we also use that to plug in the device and charge it from mains power using a plug that will adapt to USB. Let's put a standard AA profile battery in, and we'll provide a lithium ion battery with it, but you might be able to swap that out for other kinds of AAs. So it's been quite fun working through those different things and thinking about the school environment and what kind of things will work well there. We've actually done things as well, like provide standard Arduino shield header on the board, but one of the things we decided fairly early on was that we wouldn't use a stock standard profile Arduino. We'd actually build the microcontroller into our board just to help lower the cost and reduce some of the need to assemble and find different parts to put it together. But that shield header we put on does mean that you can adapt it and add other things to it if you want to. One of the other things we've done is we've also included a Zigbee module profile there, so you could put a Zigbee radio on, and you could also include any of the other B modules that are from various places around the world.
Oh wow! So a wireless communication to the lab as well. That's pretty awesome. But I'm wondering, what is your time frame here? I mean, you've been working on this for 3-4 weeks now, and you've already designed the PCB, had that produced even.
Correct. It's a pretty tight time frame. So it's 6 weeks all up. So we're pretty much halfway. The idea is to get to a completed build by the 3rd of May. So, one of the things that, yeah, it's pretty tight. But it's kind of fun. And I guess our hackerspace is kind of lucky, because we've worked through similar projects before. So one of the things we do is get involved in the Linux conference every year, and we often put together Arduino tutorial labs where we'll build a shield or extension board to the Arduino, and often that comes together in a matter of weeks before the event. So, we're feeling the pressure, but we're kind of used to it at the same time.
There's a number of things that help us do such rapid turnaround. Firstly, as Paul mentioned, is our hackerspace has worked together on probably about 5 or 6 projects now. Arduino-based, we've had to turn around really quickly. So we've got a lot of confidence in our hardware guys that they, when they produce a design, that the Gerber files can go off and be fabricated and come back correctly. We've got a software framework that we reuse, and each time we have a new project, we just have to write a few new drivers for the project. So for this time around, we have to write a drive for the graphical LCD, some frequency generation, but we can reuse our software from previous open source efforts, similar to the hardware. And the last is a company called Freetronics, which specializes in open source hardware and software in Melbourne. And what's happened is that's actually works closely with the hackerspace. So they're very willing to help us turn around hardware. So they had an order coming back from China this week, and we were able to dovetail our Gerber files on a Monday evening, and then have that arrive just a few days later from China. So having an open, supportive community allows us to turn stuff around very quickly.
Oh, that's kind of cool. And you're actually engaging already with the target audience, or at least the educational profession. You have a teacher that's involved with the project and feeding you what would be useful to have. Is that correct?
Yes, my daughter goes to high school at a school just a few minutes away, and the year coordinator is a science and maths teacher, and he's an old family friend. And so we immediately called up my friend Jeff, and he gave us some advice about the types of things the school does have and where the gaps are and where they're interested. And he also put us in touch with all the other science and maths teachers just to get their feedback. And so we gave us a sense of what was worth accomplishing and what we should just avoid, because they already had that covered. And they're happy to help us with field testing in the final week. So we hope to put our project in front of some kids in the last week just to see what they think.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. I hope you're taking some footage of that as well, because that would be interesting to see. I have a feeling we can talk for hours about this project, actually. We haven't even touched upon the fact that you ran out of Arduino pins for the display and how you solved that. But sadly, this show is almost coming to an end. If people want to know more about the Great Global Hackerspace Challenge, there is a ridiculously long URL, which I will just mention so that it's mentioned. It's www.element14.com/community/groups/d-great-global-hackerspace-challenge. See, that's ridiculously long. That's why I have a short URL for you as well, which is https. /revspace.nl. That's revspace.nl/GGHC. Guys, good luck on the project. I'll be keeping an eye on all this and looking forward to your result and all the other results, because there's 30 groups working on this. Well, good luck.
Thanks for the call, and good luck to all the other challenge teams. We're really looking forward to seeing what they do.
Going to talk about that today. Yes, it works.
that was Ant Neely with Lucky. That's a kind of nice song, I think. It relaxed me a bit. What? You don't know.
I thought about the classical music stuff you were playing before we start the show was very nice.
Classic music stuff.
I don't know what it was.
The jazz.
Yeah, maybe it was jazz.
Well, jazz is always
French
good.
French jazz.
Well, I had two other guests lined up tonight, actually, to talk about Wireless Belgium, which is great. But
he's not wireless anymore.
No, I guess he's not wireless anymore. And also, we had Jens Oler, who knows.
Jens Oler has lived off.
He's busy with the Hackerspace Space program, which we will see being launched at the CCC camp. You know what? I think they just might be on IRC, probably. I mean, it happens a lot that people spend all their time on IRC and totally forget about daily life and the appointments they made. It's really
yeah. That's why I'm not on IRC anymore.
You're not. No. I'm there a lot, and actually I think I might have a
rather play Farmville for the fun.
I think I might have a problematic IRC habit. But luckily there's a solution now. There's a cure, which is. The IRC channel on Freenode, which goes by the name Recovering IRC Addicts, and well, I'm a regular there. I'm talking now to Estera, who's also a regular on the channel. Hi.
Hi, GMC. Good evening.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You're just interrupting me and with my relationship with IRSSI.
Oh yeah,
which is very
yeah.
intimate.
It is. I was just saying. It's. You see it more and more, right? That people just spend all their time on IRC and they just can't get off it. And
I don't think it's getting more and more. I think it's been a constant habit, but as time flies, even more so that you get older, the specific amount of time you spend on IRC is occurs to be more probably, or you realize more about. How much time you spend on this channel.
It just sneaks up on you, right?
It's a little bit frightening, almost. So yeah, but recovering IRC addicts is a great cure, I hear. I haven't been cured so far, but then again, I'm not idling around there for long.
It's only been around for a day or something, but there's already
right.
quite a lot of people and lots of chatting going on and sharing of stories and how people cope with it. And I mean, did you know
and how people would transfer cake via Ethernet.
Yeah. It's all especially kinds of important subjects there. Actually, we have someone in the studio here. I mean, it's not just an IRC channel. It's a whole program. There's a website as well. It's recoveringircaddicts.org. And they define like five phases of recovering from the addiction. Actually, the first phase is admission. And well, we have someone here in the studio who is still dealing in with admitting that don't you brain smell? I'm just gonna say it. It's you. I mean, you are telling us you do not have an.
I'm not an addict.
You're not an addict. So. Let's
phase of denial.
That's phase zero. They should edit. I mean, there's 10 signs of being a problematic of being IRC addict. Let's just go through them, right? I mean, do you ever check IRC before breakfast?
Yes.
Okay, so that's one.
Do
you tend to say zom, lol, roffel, or IRL or whatever in real life, like these things, or like yo dog or?
Did I answer this question for you, Bray?
Not really.
Not really. I think I've heard you say like these. So that's two already.
When you no.
well, it's one and a half.
Okay, we'll call it one and a half. So the third item, when you are applying a patch, compiling software, waiting for a download, what do you do? Do you go to your IRC window just to waste some idle cycles?
No.
No. Okay. So,
mm-hmm,
sorry?
Like, I'm really wondering, as I'm in this program now, I wonder what would you be doing if you're just waiting for code to compile or
that's a very
a patch
good question.
My code compiles very quickly, so I don't have to wait.
So we're at one and a half. So do you have more than five windows in IRC?
Yeah.
So that's two and a half. Do you know and call most of your friends by nickname instead of their real name?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. So we're going up already. It's 3.5. Did you ever put a badge on your chest with your ISC nick between angled brackets and or put an at sign on your head?
I didn't put it between angled brackets.
I think you did. I was
not
there.
Not between angled brackets. I just put my nickname on.
Yeah, with an at before it. I think that's a yes. Yeah.
If there's only just an at before, that's more like a
Twitter,
admitting a bad relationship with Twitter.
Maybe. Okay. Well, he's getting away with that one then. Do you use Bitlbi to integrate Jabber or Twitter or any other protocols in your IRC experience?
Of course.
Yeah, so that's 4.5. Did you try closing your IRC window sometime and found yourself starting it again just without being conscious of it? Just, you know, all of a sudden it was there again.
No, I'm always conscious of opening.
Okay. Did you ever tell yourself that you have to be on IRC for work or study? Or
well, sometimes. Uh-huh. It's very useful.
So that's 5.5. Have you at least once broken up with someone you know or told someone you really fancy them over IRC?
No.
Well, that's still 5.5 points. It says here if you have 5 of these items, you have a problem. And so I think it's better for you if you just join the program because else you will never recover. What do you think, Estera?
I think probably he should join. I mean, even if it's only just 5 out of 10, if he's denying this half of a point, then there still might be chances he has a problem with an IRC addiction.
Definitely, yeah, and we should work on that on the channel. I mean,
so GNC, how do we actually work on this?
Well, what do you know? The show is over again. I have to start some music here because else we run out of time. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for being in the studio, Estera. Thank you for saving my ass with the non-showing guests and. Well,
thanks for having me.
Goodbye, all. Oh, wait. I'll just say something quickly. I'm messing up here.
We love snail mail.
What?
We have a
contest. If you send us a card, a postcard by snail mail.
Anything by snail mail, doesn't matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You will win an exclusive box.
A signed cardboard box by us.
Yeah, that's signed by us.
Yeah, that's very, very, very unique. And we'll once in a while be there and whatever. And it's, by the way, it's an empty box also.
Yeah, but with signatures on it.
Yeah, with signatures. So.
Wow. People, thanks for hanging out the entire show. And, you might be expecting a show from Detroit, but I think we do not have a show from Detroit tonight. There might be. Nick Britsky emailed me 2 hours ago that he was in the Chicago airport working on a podcast. Let's see if that has come in. If not, it's just DJ Idol, DJ Random, whom we all love. And... there's no podcast from Detroit. Too bad. Well, thanks for listening. Good night. And until next week. Bye-bye.
Please dial *611 for assistance. Yeah.